on the line now I have Conor Hanratty, and he's co-director of Drums and Guns, and it's an art production of commemorating World War One and the Easter Rising. Good morning to you, Conor. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you.
Okay, has there been collaborations before between the different, you know, the Guildford School and the Juilliard School and the Irish Academy of Music?
Yes, this is our second time. Last year we created a performance called 10,000 Miles Away about emigration and travelling back and forth across the Atlantic and so on. And it was a collaboration between the Royal Irish Academy of Music and Juilliard. And this year we've brought on another collaborator in the Guildhall School in London. So the performance is going to originate here, and then we'll bring the whole thing, kit and caboodle, over to London to perform at the Guildhall School. And then a little bit later into April, we're going to perform at Juilliard in New York as well. So the poor students involved have to go to all three places. God love them.
I was just going to say, actually, that when it shifts from place to place, does everything change? The cast, the directors, any of the crew at all?
But actually, we've put together an exciting company from all three venues. So we have performers coming from New York and coming from London to rehearse and create the piece in London, in Dublin, sorry. The two directors, myself and Ian Burnside, who is a very well-respected pianist, accompanist, music curator, and many other things, we've put the piece together. So we'll direct it here. Then everybody decamps to London, and our intrepid set designer has made a design for it in such that it can be replaced and refigured in all three of our very different venues.
Okay, and it's all happening. It runs from March the 9th right up to April the 28th in the three different places. We give out the correct the dates in each individual place afterwards. Can I ask you, in the course of the commemoration, why it's sort of World War One and 1916 combined?
Well, because it is a collaboration between these three schools in three different countries, obviously different nations and nationalities have different responses to the commemorations of this year. This is also the year of the Somme. So as well as our own very important commemorations in Ireland, we wanted to create a piece that's still looking in context at how war was happening all over the world at that time. Mm-hmm. And indeed, our piece has poems and songs from throughout the 20th century, because unfortunately, war has stayed with us throughout.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed. So it's sort of different. It has different perspectives from different people, perceptions of people in different countries. And it starts here, or rather it's here in Dublin, in the Lear Academy of Art on the 9th of March.
That's right.
On the 10th of March, and then of course it's in London then on the 12th, and then going going over to New York. You don't look for any extra members, someone to carry stuff around, aren't they?
Do you know, I have a long list of very willing volunteers.
is this usually what you do when you get I know we're going to talk about some opera you're involved in as well. Is this a new venture for you, or just another part of your CV?
To an extent, yeah, it's very exciting, particularly to have a co-director. Normally it's just me, but in any kind of a music thing, there's usually a music director or a conductor and myself. And on this, Ian and I are collaborators in many, many more ways. I get to have opinions on the musical placement, and he'll likewise have things on the acting. So it's a really exciting collaborator. We also have a third de facto co-director. We have a fabulous choreographer who's part of the team as well, called Victoria Newlin. So it's really collaborative, and I hope does what such a bringing together of these three establishments would do. And I hope it's a brilliant experience for the performers as well, and of course for our audiences who are going to join us next week.
Yeah, and obviously, like, there's been heavy rehearsals going on. Can you tell me something about the dramatic work that you're and the people that you incorporated into it?
Well, we've a huge variety of voices in it. But there's a poem by Porrick Pearce called The Mother that's been set to music was set to music nearly a century ago. So his voice is in it, in a very stirring song about nationhood and what we fight for. And that goes all the way right through to a poem about Fallujah that we gave to composition students at the Royal Irish Academy. And two young Irish composers wrote different settings of the same poem. So we've actually been able to commission new music that will be given its premiere next week when we perform two different settings of this poem as part of the show.
Okay, now, it's, as I say, it's on the 8th and the 9th of The 8th, 9th, and the 10th, yeah, in the Lear Academy. And I have to say, if you put it at a price that it's accessible to everybody, no matter what walk of life, it's terrific.
Well, that's very important, yeah.
It is indeed, but you really do. Went out of your way to do that. Okay, and people can look up RIAM, that's the Royal Irish Academy of Music, riam.ie, for all information on the times and all that sort of carry on.
Now,
another hat that you wear, Conor, is to do with, what's this upper briefs that you're doing? It's another collaboration.
It's another project of the Royal Irish Academy of Music. Nearly 4 years ago, the first set of opera briefs were put together. What it is an opportunity for our emerging opera singers to be a part of a full opera production. And so it's a kind of a program that puts together two, in this instance, it's two pieces. Sometimes it's as many as three or four short operas that wouldn't necessarily get staged on their own. So we devise programs where we have stories that maybe speak to each other. Mm-hmm. This one is very exciting because we have two really amazing composers, Monteverdi and Handel, who both wrote different versions of the same story. So I don't know if it's the first time ever it's been done, but certainly these two unclaimed treasures we have dug up, and we're going to perform back to back in Project Arts Centre at the end of March.
Mm-hmm. Has the perception changed of opera now? I got the feeling that, as well as plays and all sorts of things to do with the arts and ballet and that, has it changed and more people are getting forward and going to these things in every way?
I think so. There's been a shift in the last 5 years or so that opera has become cool, which of course is very good for me, but younger artists and theatre and performance makers are having a go and working with it because of all of the art forms, there's so many possibilities. It can be so exciting, and you get people doing with their voices what you wouldn't imagine that they could do. It's really extraordinary stuff going on.
I imagine the RIAM is you know, it's quite important, and that's just being very lightly, using the word lightly, in the course of music, because a lot of people, especially young people, to do with anything that they do, they always think of sort of fame, which we used to see on the telly years ago, and wonder why we haven't got something like that here. And of course, they have the RIAM, and they have
we
all
really
sorts
do.
Of
Between
things.
That and the Lear, we have two fame academies. Now, admittedly, the thing that is not quite as glamorous to put in a movie is the incredibly hard work that students and trainees are going through there. The discipline of these guys is extraordinary. We've been rehearsing in the evenings there, and what's amazing is that the building comes alive after 5 o'clock with youngsters from tiny ages coming in with their small violins, and you see these people so hungry and so eager to work. It's an amazing place to be.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, that's over near Boland's, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's on Westland. Well, the Lear is just beside Boland's Mills and down at Grand Canal Dock, and then the Academy is on Westland Row.
Yeah, because I think they use parts of it for that programme that's on Sunday in The Voice.
I see.
Pardon?
I see, I wasn't aware. I think that might be the Bord Gáis Theatre, but I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, no, they use that. I'm talking about the programme that's on telly. At the beginning of it, I've seen the Lear sort of, I think they use it for some of the, it doesn't matter anyway. It's not a great program. Anyway, congratulations to everybody that's involved in these. And a lot of the people that come out of the Royal Academy of Music, they come in and they come back and they teach, don't they?
They do indeed. There's a lovely culture of people coming back and giving back and staying part of the life of the building, which is a testament, I suppose, to the great experience that everybody seems to have there.
And can people look up, just before I let you go, riam.ie, that'll get the opera briefs as well as getting drums.
Absolutely.
All the information's on there. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and congratulations. And if you do find an opening at all before you head off to London and New York, give us a show.
You'll be the first to know. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much, Conor. Thank you. Bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's Conor Hanratty. And he's co-director of Drums and Guns, and it's an arts production commemorating the World War One and the East Rising, and of course, here in March in the Lear Theatre, and then going off to London and then New York, and then of course later on in the month, at the end of it rather, opera briefs as well. But just look up riam.ie for all information on what we've been talking about there.